WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guest, Paul Giamatti, is one of the stars of Storytelling, the new movie written and directed by Todd Solondz, who we heard from in the first half of the show. Giamatti is best known for his role as an NBC executive in the Howard Stern movie Private Parts. He's also been in Saving Private Ryan, The Negotiator, Man on the Moon, The Truman Show, Mighty Aphrodite, and the recent remake of Planet of the Apes. He's the son of the late A. Bartlett Giamatti, who was a president of Yale University and served as baseball commissioner. In the new film Storytelling, Paul Giamatti plays Toby Oxman, who wants to make movies and hopes to start by making a documentary about a high school. We first meet him in this scene. He's sitting on his bed next to his high school yearbook, calling someone from his past.
I'm a documentary filmmaker.
Oh, anything I might have seen?
Not yet. I'm hoping to get a grant for this one project on teenagers. Jeez, you remember when we were teenagers?
Yeah. You didn't
want to
take me to the prom.
Oh, I don't remember that.
I do.
Well, but it was so long ago. We were so different back then. I'm looking for subjects for this documentary on teenage life in suburbia. It's kind of an exploration of the psyche, of its mythology. I wrote to Derrida to see if he'd like to do the narration, but everything's still kind of in development at this point.
Huh.
I work in a shoe store right now. But it's cool. I'm not ashamed. I mean, I have a much stronger sense of self now. And anyway, it's really very temporary.
That's good.
Yeah. So anyway, tell me, what about you? I'd heard through the grapevine that you were producing movies.
Yeah, but not anymore.
Tired of life in the fast lane? Yeah. So, you're, married?
Yeah.
Huh. Kids?
Yeah.
Paul Giamatti, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you very much.
I'd like you to describe in your own words your part in Storytelling.
Well, I play a guy named Toby Oxman, who is a bit of a failure at everything he's put his hand to, and he's decided he's going to try and be a documentary filmmaker. And he decides that he's going to make a film about a young suburban high school kid in New Jersey and his family. That's basically who he is, and the film doesn't work out necessarily in a great way for the family.
Yeah, you mean well when you start out making the movie.
I think the guy entirely means well. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, his intentions are only good.
What goes wrong?
Well, pretty much everything. I mean, it goes as cataclysmically wrong as it possibly could. He's a guy who probably doesn't have a whole lot of talent for what he's doing. I mean, he's sort of deciding to do this because a lot of other things haven't worked out. And he intends to start out just exploring these people's lives and presenting them just as plainly as he can. And I think he ends up exploiting these people. And the movie ends up being something that people look at and laugh at and see sort of comically, and these people, he ends up sort of condescending to these people and turning them into figures of fun.
Now, Todd Solondz's movies aren't exactly realism. His movies like Welcome to the Dollhouse, Happiness, and now Storytelling, they're comedies where character flaws, problems, their alienation, the character's delusions is heightened in a very comic and also very perceptive way. Mm-hmm. How did he direct you in this role? What kind of direction did he give?
That's one of the most interesting things about it is that they're not realistic. I mean, these characters are types for the most part. You know, they're not caricatures and they're not stereotypes, but they are sort of recognizable characters, so that they're not entirely realistic. And that is one of the tricky things about doing his stuff. I mean, one of the tricky things about doing this character was that the guy speaks almost entirely in very kind of shop-worn cliches. I mean, he speaks in very sort of bland, not particularly deeply thought-out ways. So it's tricky to give it to ground it in something real is very tricky. How he manages to do that is mysterious. I mean, he's very specific about how he wants you to play moments, and I think that keeps it grounded in some kind of reality. It's very slippery stuff. I found one of the things that was enjoyable about doing it was that it was challenging stuff to do.
Now, Todd Sullivan seems like a pretty eccentric person. What was it like to work with him?
He seems like an eccentric guy. He's not necessarily a hugely eccentric guy. He's a lot less so than you think he's going to be from his stuff. You expect this kind of grotesque, bizarre guy, but he's actually very very soft-spoken, very clear about what he wants to do. He's a very funny guy, very approachable guy. He keeps the mood on the set very light. So it's funny because there's definitely a disjunction between his stuff and then who he is when you meet him. He doesn't seem to be anywhere near as weird as the stuff that he writes.
How did you get the part in storytelling?
Just the sort of normal channels. I mean, you know, my agent gets a script and I think he was interested in using me. I'd met him on Happiness and had the worst audition I think I've ever had for somebody. So I guess he was interested in bringing me in again, which was surprising and nice. And so I went in and met him and I auditioned for it and got the part. And he works with you a lot in the auditions, which is the most work you do on the character with him is in the auditions.
What went wrong in your first audition with him for Happiness?
Well, I think it was that thing of, like I say, I find his stuff slippery. It's tricky. It's very, the language is very, it's not, it's very sedate. It's very, it's kind of colorless in a way on the page. And I am an actor for whom restraint is a challenging thing. So I found it hard to fit myself into his mode, which is low key. So I think I was overacting, basically, is what I'm saying, like crazy in this thing. And it doesn't work. His stuff falls apart if you don't keep it in that kind of tense, restrained place that he's writing from.
What kind of roles do you think you're thought of for? Is there like a Paul Giamatti role?
Well, I guess I would say, I mean, I seem to play guys who are not, I never seem to play the out-and-out bad guy, and I certainly never play the good guy. I seem to play sort of the muddled, confused, vaguely pathetic guys. I mean, it seems like it. I mean, within that, I seem to play a range of guys. I mean, I can play very aggressive, pathetic guys. But, I mean, definitely in more so it happens to me in movies, I think, that I'm thought of for the same sorts of things. Sort of tense guys, failures, a lot of failures, a lot of guys who are not, just missing the brass ring, these guys. They're reaching for it, but they just miss it constantly. So those kinds of guys, it seems like.
And why do you think you get those roles?
I don't know. It's not just because they're coming to me with them. I mean, I'm definitely interested in them. I mean, I think I definitely find failure an interesting thing to play out. I mean, I think I find it's challenging. I mean, playing weak people is is interesting to me. I mean, I don't know whether it's that I see people, I just tend to see the weaknesses in people, and that interests me or something. I don't know.
My guest is actor Paul Giamatti. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is actor Paul Giamatti. He's now starring in the new Todd Solondz movie, Storytelling. Now, I think the role you're probably best known for is your role in the Howard Stern movie, Private Parts, in which you play the NBC programming executive who Stern nicknames Pig Vomit. And, and your most famous scene is the scene when you first meet Howard Stern, in which you're trying to explain to him that it's really important to say the call letters the right way. So let me play that scene. This is your first meeting with Howard Stern at the NBC studios in New York.
Oh, Howard. Howard, the way we work here at NBC is a more professional manner than you're probably used to. Now, see, I don't care about what you did down in Washington, because that's chicken radio. Here at NBC, this is real radio. And the first thing you've got to do is say the call letters properly. Okay? Now, I'm going to teach you how to say them. All right? And, you know, I hope you can get them. Because, see, you don't have a real good voice like I'm as Captain Frank or nothing. So we're going to have to practice it.
Well, you mean practicing here now?
You're not going to get bashful on me now, are you, Howard? Okay, you ready? The way it's said properly is WNBC. This is key. Come on.
WNBC.
No, got to be more like this. Listen up. WNBC. You hear that kind of lift? NBC.
WNBC. WNBC.
Wider.
WNBC.
One more.
In my mind, I'm hearing, it sounds like I'm saying exactly what you're saying.
No, actually.
WNBC.
You know what? You got to listen to Imus. Imus does it perfectly. Tell you what, I'm going to take you down to Imus's office right now, and you're going to hear how he does it. Come on, boy.
Okay, did your way of saying NBC get repeated back at you forever and ever by Howard Stern fans after this movie?
Yes, it happens a lot that people say that to me and people want me to say it. I'm always having people in airports come up to me and wanting me to say that, yeah.
And what do you do? Do you oblige them? Are you a nice guy about it or what?
Well, yeah, you know, I try to be a nice guy about it. I've gotten nicer about it. At first, I didn't want to do it. I felt put upon by people. I actually felt most put upon if I had to do an interview and somebody asked me to do it. I always felt sort of like, I mean, I didn't mind it so much if, you know, somebody on the bus saying, you know, could you say that for me? I would do it. I felt like, you know, somebody asking me to do it in an interview, it felt, I don't know, kind of silly, and I was being asked to be a little bit of a performing seal. But actually, I don't know why lately I haven't minded doing it so much. Yeah, but it does happen a lot.
Now, this is the role of somebody who thinks he's really smart, who thinks he's got a lot of power, but he's just being made fun of and made to look weak all the time by Howard Stern. So can you talk a little bit about playing that part?
That was a I mean, like you say, what was fun about that was this guy has this sense of enormous power that he's just, you know, he's going to break Howard Stern, and that was fun. I remember in playing that part, the key thing with that part I remember was I really wanted to have a big old chunky college ring on, like one of those with the big, you know, the big chunky bronze colored thing with the big blue gem in the middle. And because I thought this was the kind of guy who was you know, he could never be on the football team, but he hung out with the jocks. And this was the kind of guy he hung out in the big jockey frat, but he was a knucklehead, and he was never the guy that he thought he was. You know, he always styled himself. And, you know, when he ran the college radio station, and he was very, you know, for some reason that ring was, like, really key to a guy who kind of, he imagined himself being such a kind of bigger, much more kind of macho guy than he actually was. So that ring became really essential to me, and I had to hunt one down and And that really was important for me, that ring.
Where'd you get the ring?
I don't know, some weird little costume jewelry place down the Lower East Side somewhere. You know, it was just a fake one. But, I really, that was a key thing. And also, I remember, that was interesting because it was the first time I'd done something apart that big, and it was the first time I'd done something that comical on film. And it was fun doing that with because I thought, oh, this is going to be tricky. There's no audience. I won't have a laugh coming. But what became great about that was I forgot it was supposed to be funny, and I just played it actually as straight as I could in a way. So it became fun just not having to worry about being funny and just totally investing in this guy's sense of his own self and power. It was fun.
Had you listened to Howard Stern on the radio before doing the movie with him?
Not that much. Occasionally I had. But I was not like a big fan or anything like that. I was not, I mean, I liked it when I heard it, but I had not really listened to it much.
Of course, everyone who's heard the show would want to know, is he as obnoxious in person as he could be on the radio?
He's not at all obnoxious. It was amazing. He was almost weirdly friendly and sort of low-key and very polite. And he was actually a real pleasure to work with. One of the most pleasurable experiences I've had. He was, he's not obnoxious at all. He's a very, very friendly guy, very hardworking, playful guy.
Were you ever a guest on his show?
I think I did a phone-in one time when I was out in Los Angeles. It was like, it was 4 o'clock in the morning where I was, and I called in. But I was very wary about doing his show, and I still am, because I'm just, I don't know what he's going to do.
Exactly. Wasn't it a different person on the radio than he was in person?
Yeah, he does seem like a different person in some ways. I mean, it definitely, he changes in some way, and I don't think I could handle being, having weird curveballs thrown at me. I don't think I'd be very good at it.
My guest is actor Paul Giamatti. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is actor Paul Giamatti. He's one of the stars of the new Todd Solondz movie, Storytelling. He was also in Private Parts, The Negotiator, The Truman Show, and the recent remake of Planet of the Apes. Let me ask you about another part. You were in Saving Private Ryan. Describe your role in that.
I played a guy. Well, that's true. I don't think I even remember the name of the guy I played. I think he had a name. I played a paratrooper sergeant. I don't know if he had a name. I think that was kind of a part where there wasn't much of a part there. I mean, I've had to do that a couple of times where, I've gone in on something and they've said, well, gee, you're not really right for anything, but we'd like you to be in this movie. That's what happened with that. And they were like, well, we kind of want to have this character in this scene who guides Tom Hanks around, and he's a paratrooper sergeant, and we don't really know what we want him to do. But so I play a guy, paratrooper sergeant who takes Tom Hanks to the wrong Private Ryan. And it developed as we did it that I was a little inept. I fell over a lot, and I sort of fell through a brick wall, and I was really kind of not the most competent member of the U.S. Armed Forces.
Is that something that you put into the story or that was written in for you?
It started to develop that way is what happened. I mean, it was, I just kept falling over. I kept stumbling all the time because I was wearing all that equipment was real stuff and it was heavy. And I'm not a very well-coordinated guy. And I wouldn't make much of a soldier. And I was slipping and falling all over the place. And so this became, the director thought, this is interesting. This is good. So they sort of threw in stuff where I was sort of bitching about my ankles were killing me and my back is killing me. And I just became a kind of sad sack loser soldier. So it was fun the way that developed because there really wasn't a part there. As I remember, there really wasn't much to do.
So you were the kvetch of Saving Private Ryan.
I was the kvetch of Saving Private Ryan, exactly. Very proud moment for me. It was a fun movie to do.
Now, you were in Planet of the Apes. Which ape were you?
I was the kvetch of Planet of the Apes. I was the Borscht Belt orangutan. I was Limbo.
What costume did you have to wear?
I had to wear an orangutan costume.
I mean, describe it. What was it like to be in it?
I had to wear a very elaborate, full prosthetic covering my entire head, rubber, late some kind of foam, very light foam latex, and I had to wear rubber gloves and enormous rubber feet, and I had a large belly, like orangutans do. They have these kind of big pendulous bellies, and so I wore this very beautiful, elaborate rubber mask, basically.
Is it any fun to be in a costume movie like that?
Yeah, I it's the kind of thing that I've always wanted to do. I mean, it's the kind of thing when I was a kid. I mean, for me, the things that really excited me about acting when I was a kid, sort of pretending, and the things that really got me going when I was a kid were all the sort of old Universal horror movies, all sort of Wolfman and, you know, Frankenstein and the Creature from the Black Lagoon and all that kind of stuff. So this was my opportunity to, you know, to do that kind of thing. And I enjoyed the heck out of it. It was really fun. And it was fun to completely disappear. It's something where you really can't see who it is really fun, too.
Where did you see those horror movies? When I was growing up, they were on TV all the time. But that was in the 50s and 60s, and you're younger than that. And I think by the time you were growing up, they weren't on TV all the time.
No, they were still on TV. They were still, I mean, in the early 70s, they were still on TV. They still had this sort of creature feature. You know, there was Creature Features and WNEW in New York, and there was Chiller. There was a thing called Chiller where they would
Chiller
show
Theater?
Those things. Yeah, Chiller Theater. And it was on Channel 11 and I in New York. They definitely showed them. They showed all of those old Lon Chaney Jr. things. The Indestructible Man was a big one that made a big impression on me as a kid where they try to electrocute. They put him in the electric chair and it only energizes him more. And he, you know, and he goes on a rampage. You know, so I loved those things. But they definitely showed them when I was a kid still.
So is there a kind of role or a kind of movie that you haven't done yet that you really want to do?
I'd like to play a really calm person. I'd like to play a really sort of calm person. I think that would be nice. I've been lucky in that I've gotten to play lots of different things. I mean, I don't know if there's any specific role that I can think of off the top of my head. You know, I haven't in my life gotten as much of a chance to do things like Shakespeare and stuff like that. And I would like to do something like that more on stage, I guess. But I really would, actually. I mean, I'm sort of joking, but not entirely. I mean, it would be interesting. It would be challenging for me to play something more low-key. I don't know what that is, but, I mean, something that required my energy to be not so outward would be challenging for me.
You know how you were kidding before that you play the Jewish role in things, like you were the Borscht Belt guy in Planet of the Apes and the Kvetchy guy in in Saving Private Ryan. I mean, you're Italian, right?
Yes, this is true. But I don't think I've ever played an Italian.
Uh-huh.
In fact, I can remember going in. I auditioned for something once, and it was an Italian. The role was of an Italian policeman, and he was very sort of, you know, kind of smacking his kid in the back of the head, and it was very sort of, you know, hey, shut up, hey, Joey, sit down, that kind of thing. And I was doing a lot of this stuff, and the guy kept stopping me and going, okay, that's great. Try it this way. And then he would go, and don't forget, you're Italian. And then he would sit, back, and I would do it again. And he would say, okay, great, do it like this, and don't forget, you're Italian. And he'd sit back, and I finally said to him, what do you mean, don't forget I'm Italian? Basically, the idea was that I wasn't being enough, sort of like, hey, Joey, shut up. I wasn't doing enough of that for this guy. And I said to the guy, I am Italian. And he went, well, I know, but you're not being Italian. So, I mean, there's a lot of that kind of thing. I've never played an Italian. And I don't look Italian. In other words, I don't have dark hair and dark, in a dark complexion, so I don't fit the idea of an Italian, I guess. I have played a lot of Jews, actually. I've played lots of Jewish characters.
And why do you think?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, Paul Giamatti, thank you so much for talking with us.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Paul Giamatti is one of the stars of the new movie Storytelling.